There it goes.
Get that off the field. Here's Palmer again. Throwing for the end zone. Larry Fitzgerald. Touchdown, Arizona. Cardinals win.
I'd like to propose a toast. I said toast, motherfucker.
We the best music.
Oh, this what we doing here?
Another one.
I might have to put on my jewelry for this one.
Rave talk. Oh, we talking that rave talk. Safe talk. Here we go, talking that safe talk.
Major key alert.
Oh, we good now.
Major bag alert.
DJ Khaled.
Cockroaches. What up, free man? Bad guy, you know? Come on, it's the cartel.
I'm about to cut the Porsche. Tony Montana. Yeah. What is good? It's your boy KC. Welcome to another episode of KC's Corner. I appreciate you guys taking the time out to check me out, man. And you guys know what you got to do when you come through KC's Corner. You know what it is.
Put some respect on my name. You understand me? When y'all saying my name, put some respect on.
There will be no respect. Put on the 49ers name this weekend. This week. Right now. You know what I'm saying? They don't get it. They're 0-4, and they blew a winnable game on Sunday. A game they should have won. 49ers lost to the Arizona Cardinals 18-15 in overtime on Sunday on a touchdown pass from Carson Palmer to Larry Fitzgerald. The 49er killer with 30 seconds to go in overtime. The crazy thing about that game-winning touchdown with Fitzgerald making that catch, the Niners had held Fitz in check pretty much the entire game up until that moment. They had done a great job, as good of a job on Larry Fitzgerald as they've done in the last 10 years. And at that moment, you just knew he was going to be the one to catch the touchdown. At least I did. I just had a feeling. I was like, well, I haven't heard from him. Something's going to happen. I thought it might happen earlier, like not in overtime, but sometime in the fourth quarter or whatever. But, yeah, man, very frustrating loss to the Cardinals. The Cardinals aren't good. They are not good. That's a bad team. That is a game the 49ers should have won. Point blank, period. You know, I hadn't been too upset about these games this year. This one had me upset. This was one they should have won. This is one, I don't care about all that tanking. I'm going to get into it. I don't care about that tanking nonsense. This is one they needed to win. You're on the field with a team that is your equal, if not worse than you. And you've got to take care of business there. Very upsetting. Also, on Sunday, for the third time in four games this season, the 49ers fail to score a touchdown. They fail to put the ball in the end zone. Five field goals on Sunday from Robbie Gould. Absolutely unreal. Three out of four games. Wow. Not getting in the end zone. They thought they had one on a what looked like a touchdown pass to Breda, which was a phenomenal play and a phenomenal pass, one of the few by Brian Hoyer. But a great job by everybody except for Trent Taylor, who got called for offensive pass interference. And it was completely unnecessary the way he ran into that linebacker. The linebacker was already beat. He was already done by Breda. There was no need to touch him. It was absolutely unnecessary. And it was costly. It was costly on a great play. And I have no idea. I'm not here to talk bad about Trent Taylor. He's been good so far this year. He was good on Sunday as well. You know, but I just don't understand it. I know Seattle, they actually do a great job of that play where they don't touch the guy, but they get in the defender's way. And that's really all Trent had to do right there. It's all he had to do. Just kind of get in his way at the last minute, sidestep, Euro step him if you want to, and don't make contact. Very, very frustrating. The 49ers, they had literally like the entire fourth quarter to put the game away. Literally the entire fourth quarter. And I felt on every drive, every single time they got the ball in the fourth quarter, my mind was like, all right, it's going to be the drive right here. This is where they break through right here. And it never happened. Never happened. It would always be, and this is the story of what's gone on for the majority of their season in its first four games. It'd always be one play on a drive that would completely devastate what they were trying to do and ruin their entire drive. Whether it was a drop on first down by Kittle, a missed block on a blitz pickup by Los on a Honey Badger, whatever it was, when it happened, you just knew, or at least I knew that was it with the drive. The drive was over. Didn't care if that was first down, second down, or third down. I knew the drive was done. And that's something that they gotta be able to overcome. They've got to be able to overcome. Setbacks happen all the time to teams on drives. But you've got to be able to overcome these things. At least some of the time. Got to be able to. And they don't. They just don't. Brian Hoyer, he wasn't any good on Sunday. He was a terrible 24 for 49 with 234 yards and a pick, no touchdowns. I mean, he held the ball for too long. Routinely missed wide open receivers. And once again, wasn't able to put the ball in the damn end zone. Maybe the most frustrating moment of the game with Hoyer was late in the game. And he had Trent Taylor down the sideline. He beat the guy. I think the Honey Badger was guarding him. He beat him. Had a couple steps on his guy. Hoyer chucks it to him. And it ends up hitting Kyle Shanahan right on the sideline. Nowhere near Taylor whatsoever. And I know he was under a little pressure there, but come on. And when he did hit receivers with good passes, hit him in the hands, they would promptly drop it or let it go straight through their damn hands. It was ridiculous, man. Absolutely ridiculous. It's really ridiculous. I know I came on here and I was on Twitter after week two when I heard a lot of C.J. Beathard, we'll go with Beathard. I heard a lot of C.J. Beathard talk. And I said to everybody at that time, pump your brakes. Give Hoyer some time. Give him more than 2 weeks. He had just finished playing Seattle at Seattle. Give him some time. Give him an opportunity. Well, it's been time. It's been more than 2 weeks. And I'm not saying they need to bench him immediately, but the clock is ticking and all options need to be explored right now. All of them. He's not getting the job done. We're 0-4. We haven't scored a touchdown in 3 of the 4 games. If we were cooking, he'd be getting a praise. And something I don't get with Hoyer's play is how timid he looks out there. Like, dog, this is your shot right here. This is your big shot. You're out here playing timid and unsure of yourself. And that's going to get you benched probably for the rest of your career. This is it. This is your shot. You get benched now, you ain't coming back. Not as a starter. He needs to be at the point now where he just slings the ball around and plays loose and free. Because this timid nonsense about to get him benched anyway. Might as well go out on your sword. Might as well go out on your sword if you're Hoyer. That's what you got at this point. And then also, even with all this going on, I know. Let me address something right now. I'm just going to address it because the game is what it is. I'm going to get upset if I can continue to talk about that game. Very frustrating. Very, very frustrating. But even tying into this game, I know there's a lot of momentum right now for the 49ers to tank again. You guys have been telling me this for the past 3 years, telling me that everything was going to be all right if they tank. Here we are, 3 years later. We need to tank for better draft position. The Cleveland Browns have been tanking for almost 2 decades. What does tanking really get you if you don't know what you're doing? And now, I'm not going to get it. Look, I know there's a lot of momentum for that right now. But I'm not down for all that, man. I'm telling you right now. I don't see the immense value in these guys going out there and losing week after week. There's a lot of young players on this squad. A lot of young players. And I don't see the benefits in them losing every week, especially in games they should be winning. You want to have your moral victory in Seattle? Fine. I don't subscribe to that theory, but whatever. I'll actually give you that. But they can't be losing games like the one on Sunday in Arizona. They can't be losing that game. And then somehow think this is a good thing and everything is all good. You need to win your winnable games, period. People talk about tanking to rebuild and all this other stuff. Part of rebuilding, in my opinion, is actually learning how to win. And actually experiencing winning. And nobody's saying they're going to go out and win 13 games this year. But they need to be winning. And they need to win the games that you have in your hand. Where the defense shows up. You're right there on the road against a division rival. You actually take the lead in overtime. And you end up squandering that opportunity, you need to cash that in, big dog. You need to cash in that money in the bank right there. And then once again, I ain't for no tanking when you talk about you need a quarterback. And the best damn quarterback in the draft this past year was taken 12th in Deshaun Watson. And don't even get me started on that. Don't even get me started on that. That one is starting to haunt me more and more every single goddamn week. I said since the third quarter of the national championship game, get me Deshaun. I wanted him to be our quarterback. We needed him to be our quarterback. We needed that winning attitude. We needed that leadership. I said numerous times, I'd have no problem taking this guy number one overall. Yes, even over Myles Garrett. And now look at him. Killing. Out here straight cooking. Now, I know Myles Garrett has been injured. We haven't seen him on the field for that reason. He could be great. But I know it was clear as day. It was clear as day what Deshaun was going to bring to the table. And we sitting here with Solomon Thomas. And Solomon Thomas, Solomon had a pretty good game on Sunday, no doubt. And I think Solomon will be a good NFL player, but my guy Deshaun Watson out here looking special. It's haunting me. But anyway, the point being, you don't need to go 1-15 to find your franchise quarterback or get a franchise player at all, for that matter. What you need to do is know what the hell you're doing. And that goes into John Lynch and Young Shanny, which is why, breaking news here on Casey's Corner, Not a Gang Remix, I've made the decision to back the Kirk Cousins to San Francisco movement. That's right. I am all on board. I've officially committed to that cause, and I'm going to tell you why. First of all, let me start with the negatives. Number one, a lot of people say he'll cost a boatload of money. And number two, a lot of people don't think he's that good. Well, my rebuttal to that is, one, hey, it costs to play the game. That's the cost of an NFL quarterback nowadays. What Kirk Cousins is about to make, what Matthew Stafford made, Derek Carr made, that's how much it costs to have a quarterback in this league. And then two, I actually think Kirk Cousins is pretty good. I think he's a good quarterback. He can play. And, you know, you talk about him not winning the big games and all this other stuff. I also don't think Washington is the most well-run organization in the league. Everything that I see with how they've handled the Kirk Cousins situation, how they handled RG3, the coaching situation, it's a bit of a mess from time to time. And he's been able to persevere through that. Now, another thing, Kirk Cousins can play quarterback, all right? Don't get it twisted. I mean, let's not be ridiculous here. Kirk Cousins can play. Now, you may not think he's worth all the money he's about to get, but that's really a whole nother topic, to be honest. But he has the ability to play successfully at the quarterback position in the NFL. That's a fact. The numbers are telling me that. Here's also the truth of the matter. Regardless of how bad it seems and how long away people think the 49ers are and 0-4 and all this and you know, all the misery, here's the bottom line. If Kirk Cousins was the quarterback of the 49ers right now, they're probably 3-1. Maybe 4-0. No worse than 2-2. So I'm in this to win games. And I think John Lynch and Young are in the win games as well. So you guys already hitched my wagon. So here's what I want to do. I'm going to break it down for how this will work and how you want to go about this. Also, before I even get to that, I kind of skipped over the part. Obviously, we're doing this looking for a quarterback. A huge part of the reason why I want to go after Kirk is because I've watched these top NFL quarterback prospects. They looking real suspect to me right now. Real sus. And I watch these guys. I actually watch these guys wanting for someone to emerge so I can get excited about the possibility of getting him and them being a 49ers. Being a 49ers. Who am I? Monte Ellis? For them being a 49er. And I just ain't seeing it. The closest one is Josh Rosen down at UCLA. But even with him, he just seems a little wild and careless at times. Just wild and careless with the rock, and I don't like that. Sam Darnold isn't looking like he's ready to go. There's some holes in his game. Clemson ate up Lamar Jackson. They just ate him alive a few weeks ago. Granted, Clemson is the best defense in the land. But they just ate up Lamar Jackson. Josh Allen out of Wyoming, he's been looking real funny in the light against some real competition. I kind of like Luke Falk out of Washington State, but you're going to take him with a top five, top three pick in the draft and then expect Luke Falk to be ready week one next season? Hell no. So what I say you do is you sign Cousins. And here we go again, another digression. That's another thing about Cousins. People act like they're signing him to a 17-year, $50 billion contract. Calm down, all right? It'll be no less than like 3 seasons, worst case scenario. And you see a situation like in Seattle when they signed Matt Flynn the same year they drafted Russell Wilson. They weren't affected by him not even ever touching the field after Russell beat him out in the preseason. Like, it can be done. So signing Kirk Cousins is in no way a death sentence. But you sign Cousins. Then you use the first 2 picks in the draft. And actually, I will say the first 3 because from what I saw, the Niners have 2 second-round picks. So you use the first 3 picks in the draft, in the first 2 rounds, zeroing in on the most dynamic, big play, playmaking wide receiver on the board. And then you also zero in on your top shutdown cornerback on the board. And then you get those guys. And you're looking at 3 immediate impact players. When you talk about Cousins, your rookie wide receiver, and your rookie cornerback. And this draft is deep on cornerbacks. Defensive backs. So, like I said, you look at 3 immediate impact players that you added to your roster with hopefully a Carlos Hyde. You got Pierre Garçon, Eric Reed, my man Ferrari Foster, Buckner, Kittle, a Trent Taylor. I like that. I like that. Because it was painfully clear in the game on Sunday, the 49ers definitely need a playmaking wide receiver. Someone that commands the respect of the defense all over the field at any point. And it was also painfully clear they need a shutdown corner because my guy, Rashard Robinson, he just ain't going to cut it. That's my guy. I like Rashard, but he just ain't going to cut it. At best, he's number 2. He's a number 2 cornerback. But he just ain't getting the job done as a number 1 guy. So it looks to be time to be trying to figure out how to replace him as your number 1. And also, if you want a quarterback, draft one in the 3rd or 4th round and see if you strike gold there. Signing Cousins doesn't mean you don't sign a quarterback. That's not what that means. I don't know, man. I'm all in. I'm all in on signing Cousins. I said this even before the Monday night game with Kansas City. And then watching him against Kansas City, yeah, they lost. Was it Kirk Cousins' fault they lost? Come on now. I thought Kirk Cousins played a damn good game. And he just showed me even more what I like to see, what I want to see out of him. So, yeah, I'm on that movement. Kirk to San Francisco, I'm on that movement. So between those things, man, Kirk and the loss in Arizona, I mean, that's all I have to say right now. Talking about this one, I'm glad to be back. I want to send my condolences to all the families affected over the devastating massacre in Las Vegas that took place last night. Just disgusting. So I definitely want to send my prayers and my condolences to everybody affected by that situation. And at the end of the day, you know, we come on here, we talk about football, we talk about sports. It's all just fun and games, man. You know, and unfortunately, real life has to smack us in the face sometimes. And I hate that it has to be this way because this seems to be preventable. But, you know, I just want to send my prayers and my condolences out there, man. But, yeah, I'm going to step out here. I'm going to get out. I'm going to be back later in the week. I appreciate you guys taking the time to listen to me. You can get at me once again on the Twitter at IMKDiddy on Twitter, at KC Sports 916 on Instagram. And y'all be good. I'm up out of here. Peace. Not again.
Are y'all finished or y'all done? I ain't got no more talking.